All right. Boy, that's some good singing, isn't it? Congregation, and a special from the choir, we really, really appreciate it. Last Sunday, I preached a message on the purposes of God's purpose for worship. And I gave you the three E's of different areas of worship that's involved when we come together in the sanctuary to hear from God's word. And this morning I want to continue with in breaking these down individually to the worship and fellowship and edifying and evangelizing and outreach and all of these. And this morning, the purpose of worship, to break these down so we better understand, because the Bible speaks a lot about our praise and our worship to our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is not something that we do just when we come together in a corporate setting like this on Sunday morning, but it's every day of our life we are to be in the attitude and the mode of worship to our Lord. He's worthy of that. He sacrificed on the cross for our sins, and we owe the Lord a lot, our life, in service to Him and in worship. So, I have two particular passages of scriptures which fit in perfectly about worship. And the songs we've sung today have been about worship, and the scriptures that we've already heard deal on worship and our praise to the Lord. So if you will turn with me, first of all, to our first scripture, it's Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 17. I'll read through 21, and then second part, we'll go to Colossians chapter 3, 12 through 17. So look with me at verse 17, Ephesians chapter 5. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now let me just stop right there a minute. Do we always know what the will of the Lord is? It is difficult sometimes. But one way we find out is just kind of settle down and maybe get into His word or pray and say, Lord, I really want to know what Your will is for my life. We need to do that. And that can be on a daily basis. What is Your will for me today? What do You want me to do for You today? How can I be assistant and help someone else? So that is very crucial. And that's why Paul, I believe, was inspired to write this the way he did. So we are not to be foolish, but we are to be wise and use the wisdom of God from His word to be able to understand and grasp this, okay? Let's go to verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for this passion, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. That's, coming from the heart. That's what we do. It's just not something on the surface, but everything that we do should be from the heart. In verse 20, always giving thanks for all the things and the blessings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And that fear doesn't mean be afraid. That means to be in reverence to Christ, of Christ. So, as we look at this passage of Scripture this morning, we're going to continue, as I said a few minutes ago, our series on the five purposes of the church by looking at, this morning, worship. Worship is about our heart attitude before God. And that's very important. Very important. As we approach the Lord, we approach Him in a heart attitude to worship Him, to adore Him. to understand, as Paul said, his will for our life. Now, as we seek to understand the purpose of worship by looking at two nearly identical passages of scriptures, and this one in Ephesians and the other one will be in Colossians, we're going to discover that there are many different, what I will call, facets and elements of worship. They're all contained in these scriptures this morning, and many other scriptures. We can even go to the Old Testament and talk about that. But this morning I'm in the New Testament, and they all serve to honor and glorify God. And also, as the scripture says, to edify the body of Christ, each other, one another, okay? So prayerfully, by the end of this message this morning, we will be able to understand that worship is about the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, first of all, we need to be prepared for worship every day. Just not coming to church on Sunday morning and sitting in our pews and so forth, but it's every day. Be prepared each day to worship the Lord. And I'm going to break this down this morning so that we can better understand what worship is about and how we are to be prepared for worship. So in verse 17 here, we're told that we need to understand the will of the Lord. We need to understand that. And prayerfully, as we pray, we will get a better grasp of what the Word is talking about as the Holy Spirit teaches us to worship. The more we're in the Word, more we pray, the closer we are to the Lord in our walk with Him, the better we will understand His will. And He doesn't want us to go around wondering, okay, I just don't know what I'm thinking about or what to do. I don't know what the will of the Father is. We will know when we ask Him, and He will teach us. In verse 18, as I read a while ago, we were commanded to be filled with the Spirit. So to be filled with the Spirit means to be constantly controlled by the Spirit in mind, emotion, and will. Now, if we're not controlled by the mind, emotions, and will, then we're out of control sometimes, right? Because all we need to do is go to Galatians chapter 5 and read the fruit of the Spirit. And it begins with love, peace, joy, thankfulness, and kindness. And when we get down to the end, to the ninth one, it says that we are to have self-control. So to be constantly controlled by the Spirit in our mind, emotions, and will, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to control all of these areas in our life, and we do that on a daily basis. Not once a week, once a month, but daily. And that's how you are able to walk in the Spirit. The Spirit. And people, when they see you, they will know that. And you don't even have to tell them, you know, I'm walking in the Spirit today. No, they will see that there's something different about you, because as Acts chapter 4 says, as the disciples are coming into the city, and as the Pharisees and the scribes saw them, they thought, there's something different about those men. Then they said, because they've been with the Lord. So when we're with the Lord, people understand what we are all about. So I believe these verses speak to us concerning advanced preparation in worship. Submitting to the Spirit takes willingness on our part. You know, we have to will our will to the Lord, which stems from the desire to be ready to enter into the throne room, God's room, to worship. So, In seeking to be prepared for worship, we must first understand what the Lord requires. Okay? And I chose these two verses right here, and I often quote them. And these are be some good ones for you to memorize. They're perfect for us to understand how to worship the Lord. And the first one comes from John chapter 4, verse 23, which says, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." And we'll worship Him. And then verse 24. God is spirit. God is spirit, right? God is spirit. But He did send His Son into this world, just like you and I, on the flesh side, but still had His divine side. But here we say it says that God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. That's how we worship God, with our mind and emotions and our strength and everything within us. So, by spirit, Jesus was saying that those who worship Him should do so with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. That comes from Mark chapter 12, verse 30. So again, all of our minds, our hearts, our soul, and strength. Everything within us, everything about us, that's how we are to worship the Lord. And not only by spirit, but truth. Truth is the Word of God. So when we look at the Word of God and we pray and we ask God to lead us in and to understand His will and purpose, then we learn the truth. And the truth will set us free. The truth will give us salvation. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, Jesus said that He wanted His followers to sincerely desire fellowship with Him. He loves that. And we love fellowship, right? We fellowship together. Right now, we're fellowshipping together. We're not eating, right? And a lot of people associate coming together, fellowship, and is eating. And that's part of it. But the fellowship is right here. We're fellowshipping, communing with this with God. All right. So when we come to church and attend worship, this worship service as now, worship has more to do with God than it does us. Okay? It's not about us. It's about God. So when we enter the worship service, our minds, our hearts should always be, what can I give today in worship? Through my singing, through my listening and participation, that will be pleasing to the Lord. So we're not to try to be pleasing to ourselves or one another, but pleasing to the Lord. So if we're pleasing to the Lord, it's going to be pleasing in communion with everyone else. We'll all be drawn together in edification to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we come together for corporate worship, and this is what I call corporate worship, we must prepare ourselves. So in preparation to worship, we need to spend time before the services to prepare ourselves, our hearts, and our minds for worship. We need to prepare our hearts, okay? So how do we do that? Well, praying as you rise in the morning. That's a good time to start. Soon as your feet hit the floor, or even before they hit the floor, begin praying. God loves that. I mean, you know, at night when you lay down at night, it's a good time to pray before you go to sleep. So a lot of times I'll go sleep at night praying. I think about something that comes to my mind. I pray about it, and then next thing I know, I'm asleep. I wake up sometimes during the night, sometimes not till the next morning. But praying as you rise in the morning, singing from the heart, and listening to praise music on your way to church. Brenda and I listen to praise music and Christian music every Sunday morning coming to church. That prepares our hearts for worship. It really does. And confessing sin in your life will help your worship. Yeah, you don't want to come to a church with sin in your life and say, okay, everything is good with me. And Lord, the Holy Spirit would say, no, it's not. You got sin in your life. If you want true worship with me, get rid of that. Confess it to me. And be much meaningful. It will be much meaningful to help you to be in tune with the Spirit of God. Worshiping encourages, strengthens, and it changes our lives. It does. Worship really encourages you. It encourages me. When I come in a corporate setting and come with you, it's encouraging. And it strengthens us. Because, you know, something can happen through the week and it kind of, Satan has a way to want to drag you down and discourage you or cause you to doubt and just put you in a bad way. But it will strengthen you. And then when it strengthens you, it changes you. It changes your life. Now, worship serves to edify you and me as our passion for God becomes both encouraging and uplifting. You know, it's uplifting to come to before the presence of God every Sunday. It's uplifting to come to the presence of the Lord each day. Because as Ezekiel says in chapter 4, as I stand in the presence of God, and he was saying that, if you look that up in the original language of the Hebrew, it says continual existence before God. Because God is present, he's everywhere at all times, and therefore when we stand or we sleep or whatever we do, we're always in the presence of God. We really are. So we need to remember that. And the Lord must be the star player in our worship as we come before him. Secondly, as we look at the intentional about worship, we need to be intentional. James has a lot to say about that in chapter 1. When we look at verses 19 through 25, he says we need to be intentional in our worship. We need to be intentional when we read. We need to be intentional when we apply the Word of God to our lives. And that's James chapter 1. If you'll take time to read that today, start at verse 1, read through 25. And it will tell you a lot about our relationship with the Lord and how we are to approach the Lord. So now, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. And I will be reading verses 12 through 17. And we'll get Paul's other insight about worship. And this is dealing with you and I together. So as those who have been chosen of God, that's me and those who are saved, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. See how these scriptures are talking about the heart? That's where it all is. It's in the heart. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, also should you. Beyond all of these things, put on love. That's the key, right? Faith, hope, love. The greatest of these are what? Love. Now, I'm quoting from 1 Corinthians 13 there, but just to emphasize what he was talking about, love, right there in verse 14. Now, Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to be indeed you were called to be one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving in your hearts of God. And know what we did today? In preparation, as before the message, we were singing and everything, melody, and we're thankful and all of the things in a heart before God. And then verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Now, in these precious scriptures, and now here in verse 12 through 14, we see a similar admonition right here. In preparing our hearts for corporate worship, we must demonstrate mercy, all of those I read, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forbearance, and forgiveness. Wow. Paul covered it all there, didn't he? Towards one another. And the most important quality of these, did you pick up on it? Which one did Paul say? Love. Love, that's what he said, love. It is the most important quality of these. And the most important, when we think of love, is when love rules our lives. It rules our lives. It unites all of these spiritual virtues. And not only that, so that there is a beautiful and there's harmony indicating spiritual maturity. See, that's how we are controlled by the Spirit, and we're walking in the Spirit. And the Spirit is in control, complete control. When we have all of these qualities that the Scripture talks about, when we have these, Satan's going to try to distract. He's going to try to do anything he can to distract you. He don't want you to have any of these qualities, because he hates God. He wants to be God, but he can't be. And we know that his destruction, his demise, will be coming in the end. So the preaching of the word is a vital element of worship. And at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit miraculously translated the message into words that each and everyone was able to understand in their own language. So it wasn't just a foreign language mumbled up or anything like that. It was in the language, and the Holy Spirit was able to speak through the word so that everyone heard in their own language. Because there was different types and different cultures of people there, but the Holy Spirit made it simple enough for each and every one of them to understand. That's how God works. He don't want confusion. Satan causes confusions in our life, but the Holy Spirit makes everything clear and plain for you and I to understand. And that's why Jesus said, when I go back to the Father, I'll ascend to the Heavenly Father and sit at the right hand of God. I will send the Holy Spirit, and he will teach you all things that we have talked about, the things that I have taught you. Jesus' own word to his disciples, you will understand clearly and plainly because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, my Spirit, will be with you. So now in verse 16 also speaks of the need of the stir of the intellect by admonishing, teaching another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So we don't know what their hymns sounded like then, but we do know they sung from the Old Testament. The Psalms is a book of hymns and poetry and things like that. But we do know that the New Testament churches used the style music that matched the instruments and culture common to that day, just like we do today. Now, since they obviously didn't have a piano and organ like we do, they did have harps and horns and things like that back then, but their music wouldn't have sounded at all like the music in our churches today. But it was a form of worship that they knew and God had placed in their lives. So what makes a song sacred in its music? It's that worship. Now, let's come to verse 17, which speaks of our attitude for worship. Our attitude for worship. In verse 17, it says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." There it is. When we enter into the service for worship, okay, when you come into this worship setting, we must realize that we're supposed to be giving it all to the Lord. Reverend Bob Peake, my pastor when I was a teenager, I'll never forget. If I didn't hear anything else he said over the years that I sat under his preaching and teaching, a marvelous man. He's the one that married Brenda and I. He drove all the way from Athens, Tennessee to Mount Memphis, Tennessee just to marry me and Brenda. He was my pastor back then when I was a teenager. I learned a lot from him, but I was probably 14, 15 years old, and I still remember this to this day, what he said about worship. And in our preparation, he should prepare yourself before you go to church, before you enter the doors of the sanctuary, make your preparation with the Lord. Worship Him in truth and in spirit. Then when you enter into that sanctuary and you sit down in your pew, allow the Holy Spirit to stir your heart and listen to the message, listen to the Holy Spirit's teaching. It will meet you exactly where you are, where you need to be. He said the first two are very, very important. Your preparation in your worship, in your reading and praying before you enter the sanctuary. And then allow the Holy Spirit to take over from that moment. And then he said, when you leave the sanctuary and you go back out into the world, or when you go out, then you fellowship with one another. You talk about what the Lord taught you. And you'll give you better understanding what the love of God is and the body of Christ is by you listening to God's voice. That's an important, important lesson for each and every one of us. And we must not forget that the direction of worship is from believers to God. See, we magnify God's name in worship by expressing our love and commitment to Him. That's what it is. Worship is expressing our love to God for who He is, what He said, and what He is doing in your life. As we conclude this morning, as we seek worship on purpose, and you got to do it. We got to do it on purpose. We seek worship on purpose, and there are eight things that we should be doing. I want to give you eight things. Now, I don't know if you have time to read or write them down. If you don't, let me know after church if you like these eight things. I'll get them to you. But first of all, we need to prepare ourselves in advance for worship. As I kind of explained, as Bob, Brother Reverend Bob Peake expressed in a message on worship, when I was a teenager, we got to prepare ourselves in advance, and that's on a daily basis. Secondly, as we sing, we must think about edifying others through a joyful attitude. Now, when we look around, and when I saw today, and as you were singing, I saw so many of you just smiling, and that tells me you're joyful in your worship. And that's why we've got to be joyful in our worship. We've got to have the right attitude. And then third, we should always have it in our heart to exalt the name of Jesus Christ as we sing. We're edifying, we're glorifying God in our singing. And that's a part of worship, our singing is. And then when we sing and pray, we need to make certain that we express thanksgiving unto God. That's what Paul said. And be thankful. Be thankful. You know, thank Him for the blessings. Name them one by one. And that's what we are to do. And then five, whenever we meet together for worship, we must demonstrate love and respect towards each other. See, God wants us to do that. And then six, worship must also include deep, clear teaching. And that's what I try to do on Sunday morning. My heartfelt desire is always to be able to teach and preach the word to you, that you will understand it, even to the youngest to the oldest. Because I want to stand up here before you probably an hour a week, other than Bible studies on Wednesday. And my heartfelt desire is to teach you the word as I have been taught by the Holy Spirit and spent many years in Bible college and seminary. It's a wonderful thing to be able to understand and grasp the wisdom of God through His word. And then in return, preach and teach His word as it has been given to me and others and you, to be able to pass it on. And the seventh one, our songs must be comprised of a variety of musical styles, and it is. We use different instruments, we have had different instruments, we sing different, we have different voices that we share, and that's what worship is. Each and every one of us singing and using our own gifts, our personalities, and giving it back to the Lord. And as we worship the Lord, let's be sure to give it all to Him, because He deserves it. He rightly deserves it. All of our worship, praise, anything that we can give back to the Lord is well deserved from our part. That's it today. More to come, all right? More to come on worship. This is good. This is good. Everything that the scriptures from Ephesians and Colossians today is about worship. And we cannot give God enough, because He gave so much to us when He went to the cross, died for our sins. Hebrews 12 and Romans 12 tells us that it's our reasonable service to give back to Him because of what He's done for us. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank You for this day. Thank You for this message. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us have prepared for this hour. And we'll leave here better people, better Christians, more encouraged, more uplifting, because we've been in Your presence. Because we have been together and we're sharing things in common with one another. And our things in common is with You, because we have been saved and sanctified by Your Holy Spirit and sealed unto the day of redemption, past, present, and future. And Lord, if there's anyone here today, anyone listening that doesn't know you personally as their Savior, today they can. They can know you. And Lord, if anyone here this day needs you to renew their relationship with you, Lord, it is a relationship. It's a permanent relationship once we accept your Son, Jesus Christ. We're saved and we're baptized for the remission of sin. That's the washing away of those sins that so much had a part in our life that it kept us from learning more about you. But now that we are Christians, Lord, there's nothing to hold us back. We have everything to gain. We have eternity to look forward to. So we praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here this morning. And thank you for the moving of your Holy Spirit. And thank you for moving in our lives and teaching us and telling us what we need to do to be in the center of your will. And Lord, it would be best to be in your perfect will. If our heart's desire is to do that, then Lord, we can move in that direction. Thank you, Lord. We are to thank you and praise you for your kindness and your humility and your compassion, your mercy and your grace. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.